like it or not, it is dry in many areas, and that's starting to finally really get some full market attention. You're listening to the American Ag Network. Good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us today. Mike, of course, at Global Commodity Analytics. And, you know, it's dry in my backyard where guys are planting. It's dry really in many parts. As you look at this and the fact that the Eastern Corn Belt's got some added moisture, what concerns do you have from a marketing perspective?
You know, my biggest concern, Susan, is that the trade will try and attach too much to the energy market when it comes to the wheat market and diverge from the supply and demand fundamentals if the drought continues in the hard red wheat belt. I just got done doing some of my updates on expectations for winter wheat abandonment in the hard red wheat belt and also transmuting that into the all wheat yield number that I'm going to start publishing as of the middle of May. So at the end of next week, I'm going to be moving down from USDA's 50.8, 50.9 number from back during the February baseline report down to 45 bushels. And the main reason for that is pretty simple. We've got a situation where the top five hard red wheat states, whether you're talking about Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado, they all are at 44 to 67% very poor conditions. And I'm hoping that the market realizes that that's really where the number should be looked at, not the fact that we went up 1 point in good to excellent, the fact that we lost or worsened 2 percentage points in very poor conditions. And so a 20% abandonment number is being assumed at this point by me, and that could go up next week, especially if these current weather models suggest that this rain that's going to fall here in the next 5 days is going to be pretty much it for the next 10 days, and that from Garden City, Kansas to Enid, Oklahoma, we're going to be seeing almost 90, if not 90 degree temperatures by this upcoming weekend. That's, I think, only going to make the very poor conditions worsen even more, and obviously Nebraska is right in the epicenter of that, being 67% very poor conditions in winter wheat, being 72% very poor when it comes to the pasture. So that's the big thing that I think we're seeing on the Tuesday's trade, is the idea that because the Strait of Hormuz is trying to be opened up, the crude oil market's correcting 4%, even though there's no ships transiting, even though the global energy supplies are not being increased at all at this point. The funds and the technicals and the sentiment are that we're going to get better and better and better as far as supplies. And I think that's a real big question mark, not just for the crude, but especially for the wheat market.
You know, we're going to see a lot of headline chasing, too, over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, every morning we look to see what has happened in the Strait of Hormuz and where we're moving with the war. But then I saw Ukraine and Russia have agreed to a 2-day ceasefire because of an anniversary of World War II.
Yes, and at the same time, Ukraine is attacking the Russian oil infrastructure deeper and deeper into Russia, and it's also been able to reportedly get to two major ships, oil ships, on the Baltic Sea in the last, 48, 72 hours. And so this is another angle of lost production potential coming out of Russia, thanks to Ukraine. And I would bet a dollar to a donut that the reason that the Russians want to have a ceasefire is to be able to try and rearm and figure out how to get their oil from being hit so aggressively and so successfully. And I think you bring up a big point about the headline news. It's going to be very difficult to navigate this next 2 weeks, in my opinion, not just because we have the WASD report on the 12th and we have the Federal Reserve that comes around every mid-month. You've also got the President Trump, President Xi summit that's supposed to be happening between May 14th and May 15th. And almost all the indications and tea leaves that I've been able to read, whether it's in Europe or the United States or in Asia, is that this is going to be a tough summit, that this is not going to be one where President Xi rolls over and meets all of our expectations when it comes to agriculture. And so my sense and my direction and recommendation to clients and subscribers is going to be, if we lose the technicals, if we lose the trend lines, the 10-day moving average, the funds who are net long aggressively in the soybeans and the corn especially, if they want to press this market on lower, because the wheat gives up with the crude oil. I'm going to recommend doing a lot in paper positions over the next couple of weeks, because that way I'll have the flexibility of being able to lift out of positions and not be stuck with a cash-related sale that maybe I'm not as happy with in a month or two from now.
Switching gears over to the livestock side, and speaking of headline chasing, we saw that knee-jerk reaction yesterday when the Ag Secretary shared with the Trump administration ramping up its investigation on those top four meatpacking companies. What is your takeaway in the fact that we saw that switch back to green today?
Yes, and I think you can draw a couple conclusions at this point as far as between now and the end of the week goes. The weaker grain market and help and mindset helping the feeders is really crucial right now. The cash fat cattle market hitting above 255 is really crucial right now. The Wall Street market hitting records in some instances, like in the S&P 500, really, really crucial right now. And so you've got a lot of really good reasons why the feeder cattle can finally try, in my opinion, to go up and test those record highs of that 381 level made late last year. And if they could get through this month's high of 378.27 and last month's high of 378.50, I don't think that 381 would be difficult to attain, Susan, but I think we need to get that feeder cattle market to do that in order to support the fat cattle market, because what I'm seeing on the high frequency data is we are going to have a tougher beef summer grilling season, mainly because of gas prices. And if Wall Street would get weaker, as we've talked about before, that could add even more influence to the downside when it comes to beef and switching over from beef to pork or chicken. So I think you got a lot going for you right now in the feeder cattle market. And I'm going to recommend clients right now with the fat cattle who have markings stay very, very current. You're at 255 on negotiated cash, and USDA's second quarter estimate was 241. So you're almost $15 above where USDA thought we would be in Q2.
Well, as we wrap up our conversation today, I was going to ask you about that, because many think the key to grilling season kicks off on Sunday with Mother's Day and one of the top grilling. Do you see this as you talk about that dwindle? How much pressure is going to be put, and how will this market fully react if they see a consumer pullback?
Yeah, no one really knows, but if it's led by the Wall Street, I think that the fat cattle market, especially as long as the funds are right now, the fat cattle market is probably most susceptible. But the feeder cattle market, they're not very long at all right now. So that's another big reason why I think we could build up a base here of fund length as we get to the beginning of the summer grilling season. I think that would insulate us quite a bit. I think at the end of the day, Susan, for me, and especially as you look at the deferred contracts, August, October, December fat cattle, how do you have only 2% less on feed, but our year-to-date slaughter is down almost 10% still as we get ready for summer grilling season? I think something's going to have to give very, very soon. Either one number is right and the other number is wrong, or we're going to see a huge increase in market-ready cattle, which I don't foresee coming at this point.
All right, Mike Zuzulo joining us today. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.